Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast, the place to be for drama teachers, drama students, theater educators everywhere. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening.
Ho, ho, ho.
So this is a replay of episode 96, and you can catch the links for this episode in the show notes at theaterfolk.com/episode96. So one thing that many classes do in a semester is put together a play and perform it, maybe for their school or for a feeder school. Some classes devise the play, or in this particular case, they have a playwright in the area.
Me.
And who comes in and works with them from brainstorming to reading to rehearsal and performance. And I have to tell you, this was not a senior class or an after-school program or a dedicated drama club, but a grade 9 class. And the experience had its rewards and challenges for me, just as it had for their teacher, Rasika Risco. I thought it would just make a great podcast to talk to her about the successes, about the challenges, and how do you get an entire class on the same page to do a play and then not only perform it for each other, but for an invited audience. These guys had to perform their play in front of 300 middle school students. So let's get to it.
Like this?
Yes!
Put a spring in your step. Like this?
Yes!
I do all these things, but I still don't feel completely happy.
I know what you need. You need to become a rabbit.
A rabbit? What's that?
All right, here we go. So I am here with Rasika Risco. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
So we just had a rehearsal. You're in rehearsal right now with a play that I wrote, and it's your grade 9 class, right?
Yes, it is.
Grade 9s, and you are rehearsing a show with your class to perform in front of your feeder middle schools.
That's correct.
So what I wanted to talk to you about was about, I know that there are a lot of our teachers who listen who either do a show with their class or want to do a show with your class. And I thought we could talk about the good parts about that, the pitfalls about that. So, but first of all, what's your background? How long have you been a drama teacher?
I've been a drama teacher since 2001, which is
Math.
A long time ago. Math. I am a science teacher as well. 13 years ago.
13 years.
And I've been teaching drama, if not full-time, at least part-time for that time. Cool. I taught at one school for 5 years, and then I've been at Governor Simcoe since 2006.
Cool. So. Oh, and the exciting thing for me is that this is actually happening live in my backyard, because usually I do these, like, over Skype, so I never get to talk to anybody.
Oh, that's exciting.
Face-to-face. And, why drama? Why did you choose drama?
I had an amazing drama teacher in grade 10, and I'm not athletic, and I was awkward socially, and drama was the place for me. It was organized. I feel like I could be part of a family. I had friends that from different grades. It was easier for me to get to know people in drama than it was for me to try and get on a team that I just wasn't going to get on.
And that just sort of stuck with you always?
Yeah, we did a show in grade 10, then 11, then we got a new teacher in grade 12, and I loved her. I loved her. She's the reason I became a teacher. And then I learned how to stage manage and direct kind of through that avenue there.
Why teaching? Why explore drama through teaching professional or as a profession?
Well, I was in university. I had to go to university for science because my parents said they wouldn't pay for me to do theater. So drama was my minor. I had done a lot of stuff at McMaster through McMaster Musical Theater. So that was kind of my drama experience. And it was the summer before my fourth year. And I had a med school application in front of me, a teacher's college application in front of me, and a midwifery application in front of me, believe it or not. And the med school application was $350. So I said, nope, not doing that. And I looked at the teaching one and I said, I think I'm going to try this. And I applied, I got in, and when I got there, I just knew it was where I wanted to be.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
It's pretty cool.
Okay, and now 13 years later, what would you say was the biggest misconception about being a teacher?
It's easy. It's not easy. It's not. There's nothing about teaching that is easy. These kids come to school with their baggage, and you have to learn how to navigate your way around the baggage while getting them to do what you want them to do or need them to do. And it's also, in this day and age, I find the challenge is getting kids to believe that they are able to do what you want them to do without quitting.
Is that maybe what you love about it, when you can do that?
Yes, absolutely. I love seeing kids change through the power of theater. I love seeing kids do one show with me, and then they're hooked. That, honestly, it's better than teaching drama. Like, the after-school drama is just way more enriching than I ever thought it could be.
So what made you decide to... Have you always done shows with your... classes where you take a class and you perform a show for an audience?
It depends on the chemistry of the class. So sometimes the makeup of the class or the reason the kids are in it doesn't work so well. So I won't do it that way. But if I have a class like I do with my grade nines now, who are high functioning, they are for the most part very engaged and want to do work. They want to be challenged. Then I'll do a full show with them. Sometimes with the chemistry of the class, it doesn't work that way, and it's not worth the frustrations that it will bring upon for half of the class and myself to do something when the other half of the class isn't engaged.
How long does it take you to realize whether that's going to happen or not?
I think after the first or second units and performance assignments, I can really get a sense of where the kids are. This class was unique because I was kind of moving at my usual pace, and they wanted to move faster. They wanted to get up on stage and be challenged to do assignments and be challenged to do the next unit. And I thought, okay, these are the guys I want to do something with, because they were moving faster than I've ever had kids move before.
Cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So what are the challenges of taking a full, how many kids are in this class?
28.
28. Taking a full class and putting a play on with the intention of performing, because it's not just for a class. They actually have to perform in front of an audience. What are some of those challenges?
Challenges are having the whole class buy in at the same level, because of course in every class you're going to have a handful, 5 or 10%, who just don't engage or can't engage or just choose not to engage. So that's an issue. And our school's special because we have 1-hour classes, so getting everything done in an hour can be quite difficult at times. So that's the other challenge you have to look at in terms of rehearsal schedules and times. But the biggest thing for me is making sure that the entire class is on board and with you on the journey.
Well, and that was very interesting today because you gave some ultimatums.
Yes.
You gave some ultimatums to 4 kids that if they couldn't get their act together, and the show's going up next week. And you told them that if they don't get their act together, they're going to be replaced.
Yeah, I don't like to do that because at the end of the day, it's kids at class. But at the same time, when you've asked them repeatedly to do something and you know they can do it and they're choosing not to, for the betterment of the entire production and the other 90% of the kids who are working their butts off, it's only fair to then at that point push them to the ultimatum, and then it's their choice. Because I've given them every opportunity. I've given them plenty of time. We are less than a week away from the show, and I do not want the whole production to suffer because of these 4 or 5 kids.
When you're in how do you assess a production process?
I do a daily mark out of 2. I know that sounds silly, but I do a daily mark out of 2. And if you're late,
why 2?
Just, it's easy. It's easy to handle, and 2 is easy. If you're late, you're automatically down to 1. If you're a goofball in class, you're down to a 0. If you're absent with no excuse, it's a 0. So they get a daily mark out of 2 for the entire process. We do weekly, I call them drama logs, so they are weekly recaps of what's happened that week, what left an impression on them.
These are the things that the students have to fill
yes.
out. So a weekly journal.
Yep, so I assess that. I will assess their performance based on a performance rubric, and then they will do a reflection after the fact. So that's the other part of their mark. So it's a 4-layered assessment.
What are you looking for in their performance rubric?
I'm looking for engagement and character, use of their voice in terms of vocal variety, projection, articulation. I'm looking for the overall impression that the show has. So what does the whole piece look like? I'm looking for how they engage with each other. I'm looking for their character development in terms of movement, in terms of voice. And I'm looking for their focus on stage.
How much percentage of their mark is this?
Well, this year, this is special because this is their performance exam. So between the performance, the daily marks, the journal, and the reflection, it's 20% of their final mark. So the stakes are
high. That's pretty high. Yeah. That's pretty, and pretty interesting when you give an ultimatum to 4 kids that they're going to lose 20% of their, a lot of their mark.
Right? But again, it's a choice. Like, I don't push kids unless I think, my line is to them, I demand excellence because I know you can give it to me. So if you don't push them, they won't rise to the occasion. So I'm pushing them.
Yeah. Well, you talked a lot today about choice, about you're making this choice.
You're making the choice not to do what I've asked you to do. You're choosing to be lazy. You're choosing not to be engaged. So I'm choosing to say, I'll replace you at 2:30 this afternoon at rehearsal. So
now, how do you go about getting an audience? Because that's the second part of this, is that not only are you working with a class to perform a play, the huge part of it is that there's got to be somebody there to watch it. And there is, so how did you go about getting an audience for this?
This one was awesome. I have a really, oh my gosh, what's the word? She's an awesome kid. I don't know how to tell you. Senior student who made me a great poster.
It's a beautiful poster. I'm going to put this in the poster in the show notes. But I think that's a good thing to do, is to go after your arts classes and get them to help you out with your materials.
Yep. And then I approached the tech teacher. He sent me 4 of his amazing students to do a short little promo video that was set to music. So, and then Lindsay created a teacher guide, study guides to send out. So when I sent the invitation out, I sent it out with the teacher guide, the study guide, with the poster, and a couple weeks later, the link to the promo video. So there was material ready for teachers to look at. We picked a day in June, so I gave them, elementary schools get really busy near this end of year.
And just to be clear too, that this is a play that was specifically for middle school students. So how many, and you approached middle schools?
Yeah, so in the invitation I said, we'd like to invite your grades 7 and 8 students. I gave them a quick outline of the show, and I gave it to them about 4 weeks ago. So there was plenty of time to arrange buses and letters to go home to parents. And then a couple of teachers asked if they could bring their grade 6 students, and we talked about the content, and they are bringing. So it ends up being a mix of grade 6, 7, and 8 students.
I think this is really important to point out. This is not just a, hey, come see my show. Mm-hmm. This is a really advocating to get an audience.
Yes.
And I think, too, that I'm going to just say, if you can send me that promo video again, we'll put that in the show notes too. So that, because I have the teacher's guide. So that it's also, that it's like, you're really working to get these middle school students.
And it's about making them feel like you need to come see this piece. This is something that can't be missed. You need to bring your students to it. Luckily, we have a good reputation and a good relationship with the feeder schools that when I do invite them, they more often than not will come as long as the schedule works. I only charge $1 a student because I know some of them have to pay for busing. Sometimes I've been able to get funding from the board to provide the transportation, so that helps as well. And then I also, the chaperones are free. So, and we're lucky. Our theater can seat 500. So we're able to invite every single feeder school, which is about 8 or 9 of them, and have a good, healthy audience for the kids.
And how many are coming?
We have around 300 coming, plus some of the parents of the kids are coming, which I think is really awesome as well.
I think so too. Mm-hmm. I think that's really great, particularly when you've got a play with, the subject matter for this play is depression. Mm-hmm. And about those, sometimes those things, people get a little awry and they don't want to deal with that when they're seeing a show. So I think it's really awesome to be able to get that.
Yeah, numbers. And I think that study guide really helps, because I know as a teacher, when I'm going to see a show, the study guide makes a huge difference in terms of whether it's going to be something my students are going to like or not. And just even to break down content, especially with this show that's dealing with topics like depression and suicide. Suicide's never really talked about directly in the play, but it's a hot topic for elementary school students, so it's nice to know that it's there, it's upfront, it's the teacher's responsibility to prep the kids before they get here. It's handled in the show very respectfully and appropriately, and then there's points for discussion after. So that study guide and that prepping of the students makes a huge difference.
They know what they're coming into.
Yes.
Like they don't, you know, there's not a, hey, here's point by point what the show is about. But there is some guidance.
Yes, and I think that's important. I know when I take kids, if I haven't prepped them versus if I've prepped them, the engagement level is completely different.
So, and how does it help you to get these middle school students to come see a show at your high school?
It results in kids coming to Governor Simcoe to take drama. They come, they see a show, they see kids relatively around their age doing something really amazing on stage. And I think they think, I can do that, and that looks like fun. Because if the kids are having fun on stage, younger kids are going to want to be part of that when they get here. And the years that we've done really successful shows for feeder schools, it shows in the registration numbers the following year and the following year after that.
How many years have you been doing like this particular program where you do a show and then do it for your feeder school?
I've been at Simcoe since 06, so probably around 07, 08. It took me time to get used to the kids here and the way the school worked, and I have a space I can use that works quite well. So we have been doing that for about 6 or 7 years. We've also done children's theater shows for kindergarten kids in pajamas. Like, we do as much as we can for the outreach, because it's important for our middle schools and our feeder schools to know that we're here and that we're excited for them to come to Simcoe when they get here because these are the cool things they can do.
What does your administration think of what you do?
They are very appreciative of the hard work we do. They're very supportive. They help me not only monetarily, but in terms of support and release time. Other teachers are supportive of the kids when they're in production mode because they understand the effect it has, the positive impact it has on the school as a whole. So I'm really lucky to be in a building where people get what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are you putting on a show with your students, you're putting on a brand new play.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to talk about, like, what's that like? So what is it like for you to direct a play that's never been done before that changes too? Because I've been coming into rehearsals and making changes.
It's actually really neat. I love to get scripts from Lindsay like this. I'm not going to lie. And I love being able to have it as a completely clean slate. I don't know if that makes sense,
yeah.
But the ability to kind of say, I think this will work best. And then to play with it, and then to take the kids' input. I think that's important because it engages them with it as well. So that process of let's try this, that's not working, let's try that. And then to see something that was an idea go from brainstorming to draft to rehearsal mode to production mode. It's really, really awesome. And for the kids, I think they get to say, we did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something to be said about saying we were the first school that got to do that.
Do you think your grade nines from the beginning to the end, because we're nearing the end of this process, how is their opinion of what playwriting is and what theater is? How has that changed?
I think they have a greater appreciation for how hard it is. So, you know, it's, oh, take drama. It's easy. It's not easy. And I think they're starting to understand that. I just had a conversation with them after rehearsal about being engaged for 40 minutes and not turning your character on and off based on when you have a line. And I think they're starting to understand that it's hard work. It's rewarding and it's enjoyable, but it also is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
These are also the kids that have asked me to hold after school rehearsals eagerly and who are coming.
Awesome.
So it's like the first time in a millennium that I think the kids are like, can we stay after school? They're here, they're enjoying it, they're engaged, and they're doing something productive after school, which is, you know, more than maybe they were doing 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so if you were going to give some advice to a teacher who maybe is having trouble taking a class and going from that beginning stage to production to getting an audience, what three pieces of advice would you say that will help them out?
Set your kids up for success. So know your class well enough to know who can handle what parts and who can do what. My second piece of advice is to push them to be excellent because they can be. If you believe in them, they will rise to the occasion. And my third piece of advice is to always maintain a level of fun because if it starts to feel like drudgery every day, you're not going to get out of them what you want. So as much as I do get serious and do give ultimatums, we also have rehearsals where things get a little silly and we break it down a bit and it just keeps it fresh.
Awesome.
Oh, and I also bribe them with treats and food because it does help sometimes. Popsicles go a long way into the theater.
Pizza, after school rehearsals.
Yeah.
How do you deal with auditions? Because I came in and we did a reading and we just sort of randomly assigned people. And then you were very, very clear that just because you're reading this part does not mean the part you're going to do. So how do you deal with auditions and assigning roles when everybody has to have a role?
This year was different. I tried something new. So I had the kids write down on a cue card the three parts they wanted in order, their top three choices, and then a part they didn't feel they could successfully do. Then I took those cue cards and kind of slotted the kids in based on their ability, based on what they've been doing all year. Then Lindsay came back in with another draft, and we did kind of, it ended up being like a callback. So I had placed them in their spaces, and I said, this is a loose casting. I want to see what happens. And then they did a bit. And then I made a few changes. And then I made a few changes based on if I needed to replace actors because kids weren't pulling their weight. And then I cast the show from there. So it just became a question of what did the kids want? So I tried to accommodate as many wishes as I could, being realistic and being setting it up for success, sorry, and then a combination of me being able to put them into where I think they would be successful. Now, some kids I think I'd like to give an opportunity to who maybe may not be the first choice for a part, but I think, again, that's a question of just saying, I demand excellence because I know I can get it from you and the potential is there.
And how did successful do you feel the casting was?
I think for the most part, it was well. There's also that 5% I have to put somewhere. So I'm pretty happy with what I've done, except for those few kids that I just gave the ultimatum to. So we'll see how that pans out today. But yeah, I think where it is, it's great based on the ability and the combination of kids in the class.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've done this process with you with a grade, a senior class, and then with a grade 9 class.
Mm-hmm.
And which do you think it works better with?
Grade 9s. Absolutely. They just eat up what you do. They just, yeah, let's do it. Let's go for it. Whereas the 12s like to argue and give reasons for not being there and give a reason for not being able to do this and a reason to not being able to do that. And grade 9s just, they just do it. There's not as much pushback from them.
Right.
Yeah, so they just go with it. And from the minute I told them that this is what I wanted to do, they were like, yep, let's do it. This is exciting. Let's go. When's Lindsay coming? That was what they said. When's she coming? So it was good.
I like that. That's awesome too. What changes would you make, do you think, next year? If you were going to do this again, what changes do you think you'd make?
I think that I would, from the beginning of the semester, lay the groundwork so they knew it was coming, so that they knew that everything they did would have an impact on where they ended up in the show. So just knowing that I'm always watching, and that if they wanted big parts at the end piece, that they had to work for them, they had to earn them, that they weren't going to be given them. Because oftentimes, sometimes you'll have a kid who has an A in your class on paper, but they're not an A on stage. So those kids need to be reminded that it is work, that it is an honor and a privilege. I know that sounds cheesy to get big parts in grade 9, and that if they want it, they got to go for it. And I think it'll push them. I think that if it's always in the back of their head, it will push them.
Well, I'm fascinated to see what's going to happen, because you gave the ultimatum and then I stood up and said, you know,
This is... Yeah, it was nice. I said it and then you backed me right up. And I think that resonated with those kids. I think there's a bit of panic right now.
It happens all the time. I come in and I float in like, you know, happy special guest. And then I say things and they're all like, oh, Lindsay said that. That's so great. And the teacher's just like, I say it all the time.
I know. And it's always funny. Like, no matter where you go, you know, I did a workshop at the Shaw Festival with my kids for cabaret, and the actor was showing him what he did for warm-ups. And I was like, yep, you're vindicating me. Everything you're saying right now are things I have been saying to them for 4 years because they were my seniors.
So all you teachers out there, get a special guest in and get them to say what you've been saying.
Yeah.
And
some reason, watch, 2:30 will come around, those boys will be spot on. So, but my rule is you can't just do it once. Now they have to do it from now until next Wednesday, because it's not fair on the rest of the class that's working hard, because it starts to bring them down. It's like that one moment in the scene where one person misses
a
line, everything falls apart.
I told them, I said, I'm getting really excited, and it's really true, and I can't wait to see what they bring next week.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Asta.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks, Rassica. You know, I especially like all the pieces that were put into place to get an audience to her show. You know, it's not just throwing something out into the wind. There was an invitation and a video and a teacher's guide and a poster. You know, all that really helps, I think. I'm going to include all those in the show notes, which you can find at theaterfolk.com/episode96. And I have to tell you that, so we recorded this last week, a week before the show went up, and I can happily report that the kids did awesome. It was a great show. Before we go, let's do some Theater Folk news. I just wanted to let you know where you can easily find the Happiness Shop and other great plays specific for schools and student performers. Here at Theater Folk and over at theaterfolk.com, you can look for a play directly by typing in the title or the author. But if you're not quite sure what you're looking for, you can refine your search. You can look up large cast middle school issue play. You can look up plays that are mostly girls, or if you're in the rare position, mostly boys. And this way, you're not just blindly looking at titles or looking at the title of a play and you read the description and you really like it and it just won't fit for your situation. And that's what you really want. You want to make sure that you're reading plays that are going to work best for you and for your kids. And with all our plays, you can read sample pages so you know exactly what you're going to get with a play. No surprises.